Well, hey guys, how are y'all today? All right, good. So I get to introduce our speaker today, but I'll try not to cry because between the worship and this being a very special moment for me, it's very emotional today. I don't know what's going on here, but man, I'm very, very excited to introduce to you Andrew Hopper, the lead pastor of Mercy Hill Church, our sending church from Greensboro. And man, I'll never forget the first time that I was basically introduced to Andrew. We didn't actually meet or talk. He was up preaching at the Summit Church on the Saturday night campus. And it was the week that we had brought my parents down for the very first time to hear JD preach. And we're like, man, it's Andrew. I don't know, you know. So, but man, he's grown so much over the last, really, that was probably over 10 years ago for sure. And grown in a way that I look up to him as my mentor. Grown and to even more God. I mean, he was a godly guy when I first met him, but man, I just can't believe what God has done in his life and through his life and his leadership at Mercy Hill, and it's impacted our church. Sorry. I can't help it. And I'm so thankful that he's here today. So why don't you guys help me welcome Andrew, and we'll hear him preach.
Oh, man. Love you, bro. Thanks, man. Thank you. Thanks, man. Man, it is so good to get the chance to hang out with you guys today. Man, I love your church. I love your pastor. It's a special thing for me to be able to say, because it's literally true, that our church, Mercy Hill Church, the first time we ever gathered at Carter and Tamara's house, okay? So the first time that we ever came together as a church, a little launch team of 10 or 15 people, it was in their apartment. And man, it was cool. Our daughter, who just came to hang out with you guys on a mission trip with our student ministry a couple weeks ago, she was probably 1 or 2 years old at the time and hanging out in their back room and all that. So man, all this stuff is very connected. Guys, you are prayed for. You are loved. Man, I know that you know this, but you guys are so blessed to have leaders like Carter and Tamara, Jacob and Anne-Marie. You guys are just so blessed to have them. They are, I will say this about Carter, if you know him, this can be a two-edged sword, all right, a little bit, but man, it is so good in a world that is filled with fake to know that there is a straight shooter that you're talking to. And that's Carter, man. He's going to tell you exactly what he thinks. And man, it's such a gift and a blessing to you guys. I want to do this, man. I don't know if y'all know how special this is or not, but can you guys just help me praise God for y'all's worship team? It is incredible, all right? Man, I love that song. Adam, you guys are, man, so blessed to have the team that you have. So anyway, man, I couldn't be more excited to be here. Hey, let's dive into the Word. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 1 today. Our church, Mercy Hill Church, is this summer has gone through a series looking at wisdom literature. And I was going to open the Word with you guys today and talk a little bit about that. You know, wisdom literature in the scripture is so important. It is a gift to us from God. God did not have to give us his word. He certainly did not have to give us the wisdom literature. God not only created us, but then he gave us so much stuff in wisdom literature that helps us get very far in the world that he created. All right. It is for our flourishing. It is for our thriving. I very rarely do any kind of quiet time or time in the Word in my own personal life without reading something from Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, or Song of Solomon. And it's just very important for us, I think, to thrive in God's world. And so our church has been walking through this stuff in the book of Proverbs all summer long. And I wanted to open the Word with you guys today in Proverbs chapter 1. And what I want to talk to you guys about from Proverbs chapter 1 is this concept. I want to talk to you about heaven and hell today, okay? But I want to talk to you in terms of maybe a little more accessible term for heaven and hell being wisdom and foolishness, their greatest expression. What is heaven if it is not the greatest expression of wisdom? What is hell if it is not the greatest expression of foolishness and rebellion? A lot of us don't think about it this way, but it is this way. Guys, I want you to hear very clearly today, nobody goes to heaven simply because they were scared of going to hell. I know that that's kind of a popular thing, especially in the South. Like, I was driving in Eastern North Carolina a few years ago, and I look up, no joke, all right, I see a church that is named Brimstone Baptist Church, okay? they don't play at Brimstone, all right? They've been scaring people into heaven since 1907, all right? They're very serious at Brimstone. And guys, listen, Matthew chapter 18, Jesus Christ did a little bit of this. Man, it's better to enter heaven maimed than it is to go to hell with, you know, both hands, like cut one off. There is certainly a place for waking people up to the eternality of our soul. There's certainly a place for that where you get people to wake up a little bit to the reality of like, man, when you die, it ain't over. I think there's really a lot of merit to that. And so there's some idea of, man, is there a fear component that wakes people up? I think the answer to that is obviously yes. But this is what I want you guys to see today, all right? You don't end up in heaven because of something you didn't want. You understand what I'm saying? Like many people are like, well, you know, I don't really want to go to hell, you know, like darkness and burning and the worm never dies. All of that literally true. I mean, literally true. Place, you know, of extreme torment and anguish. Nobody wants that, right? It's like nobody wants that. But what if heaven is more characterized by, man, the pursuit of what you love? And you say, well, how do I even know what the answer to that is? Well, let me ask you this. And this is kind of where we're going today, all right? When you read wisdom literature, man, I know in a room this size, there are some of us that are brand new. Man, you're trying to figure this whole thing out. Am I even a believer? There's going to be people that are looking at this online later, maybe even some of our serve team here that are watching this later in the week that are like, man, I'm so new to this. I don't really, man, I'm just trying to catch on. And that's great, man. This is a great place. Church plants are the perfect place for you to kind of work that stuff out. But some of you are thinking like, man, I'm here because I'm a little bit scared of like going to that place, and I don't really, well, let me ask you this. When you read wisdom literature, if you start to read it, maybe even today, you know, start to read the book of Proverbs, Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, other places, man, the book of James is not maybe technically wisdom, but it has some of that stuff, components, and a lot of places in the Bible are that way. When you read it, here's the question, man, do you love it? Does your heart long for it? If the Bible in the book of Proverbs is painting a picture, is it like, dude, I want that picture. I want to buy that one and make it the centerpiece of my household because I love it. That ain't the same. Listen, that ain't the same as I do it perfectly all the time, okay? Because I don't, and none of us do. And there are times where it's like, man, I am just like Paul. I'm doing the thing I don't want to do, and I can't seem to do the thing that I want to do. But that is the question. Think about what Paul says in Romans. Is it the thing you actually want? When the Bible begins to, what is the book? What is wisdom literature? What is the book of Proverbs? You know what it is? It's heaven breaking through to earth. It's a little echo of Eden. It's God saying, hey, when I reign, this is what it's gonna be like. Do you love that? Do you love the slow path to wealth? Do you love the idea of sexuality expressed in marriage only? Do we love the idea of disciplining our children or being disciplined to get us on a godly path? Like, do these things make our heart beat fast? Or, listen, and some of us are gonna be so brand new today, are some of us like, man, the things you're talking about, there's like boring, right? Like, you're talking about, man, like, you know, the slow path to wealth and not being intoxicated with things in the world like alcohol and all that kind of, some of us might be thinking like, man, that don't sound like heaven. That sounds more like hell. To me, yeah, it does. Man, a lot of people, the path that they choose in this life is very revealing about what they love. Nobody wakes up 1 second after they die and all of a sudden decide they're gonna love heaven. They may hate hell. It's not the same thing as loving heaven, right? Because loving heaven is about bowing my knee. Loving heaven is about saying, man, this whole thing is not about my name, it's about your name. Man, you know, loving heaven is about, hey, there's a million areas of my life that I read the wisdom literature and what God says about life, and I'm like, I don't like that. And then going to God and saying, hey, make me a lover of what is good. Be the Lord over my life and change me. Now, for some of us in here, it's like, man, that is the desire of my heart. Good. We're going to talk a little bit about that and maybe how to come in line with some of the areas of our life that are out of step. But for others of us, I'm hoping that we're going to wake up to the reality today of the path that we end up. Listen, the destination is connected to a path, and many of us are choosing it right now. Some of us think, I don't want the destination of hell, but I love the pathway to it. Don't work like that. All right? It don't work. You're not going to wake up 1 second after eternity and all of a sudden love heaven and love what God says, and love submitting to him, all right? And there's a really easy place to see what I'm talking about in the scripture today. Proverbs chapter 1 says like this, all right? Actually, let me give you kind of some handles today. If you want to maybe jot something down and all of that, you could say it like this. Part of wisdom is loving wisdom. Is that on the screen? Got it. Yeah, that's gonna direct kind of where we're going, all right? Part of wisdom is loving it. And do we love it? That's going to show us the path that we're on. Look what it says in Proverbs chapter 1. Wisdom cries out in the streets. In the marketplace, she raises her voice. At the head of noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gate, she speaks. And here's what she says. How long, O simple ones, will you... What did I say in the intro? You love wisdom? No, no, no. What this says is, how long will you love being simple? I love the pathway that I'm on. How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? It really kind of ties it to the heart. The destination is connected to the path. We don't like that idea. Listen, many of us, what we think is, man, I'm just going to kind of choose the path here, but it's not connected to the destination. No, no, no. The Siri or Google Maps of your heart has already been set. You're setting the destination on heaven and hell, and that's reading back into what you love on this earth. If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you and I will make my words known to you. Now, Proverbs chapter 1 is interesting because we get this character named Lady Wisdom, okay, or Woman Wisdom. And she pops up in the book of Proverbs. Now, this is a personification of God. This is not saying God is a woman. What it's saying is in this particular literary and rhetorical device, there is a character that is popping up that is speaking on behalf of God. And that's the idea of Lady Wisdom, all right? She pops up a few different times in the book of Proverbs. And in this one, she pops up and she cries out above the commotion. Man, I loved you guys' song, The Chaos of the World, right? How many of us need to hear from God above the chaos of our kids are about to go back to school and that means a million different things, or my job is in jeopardy, or the news cycle is endlessly crazy. It's almost like they want us to be afraid so that we'll keep looking at it, right? It's like, man, all of this stuff. Okay, and so what Lady Wisdom says is, hey, I am crying out above all of the commotion in the city streets. And what is she saying to us today? This is the most counterculture. It doesn't sound like it. Man, I know you could, I could start naming a bunch of different social problems that end up seeming super countercultural. There is nothing in the Christian life more countercultural than this verse. If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Verse 23. Why do I say that is so countercultural? Because here's what the Bible is saying. The Bible is saying that you naturally are on a path that you need to turn away from. That is countercultural. Why? Because we live in a day and age that basically says the truth is inside of you. The inner light is inside of you. Now, my generation, okay, I was born in 1983. That makes me a geriatric millennial, all right? I can choose to be a millennial when I want to, or I can choose not to be a millennial. I'm kind of right on that. Hey, this next generation's coming up. Man, the ones after them, they have been completely immersed in this idea of the inner light, the inner truth. The community does not exist to kind of reproof and help guide. The community exists for one reason, and that is to affirm whatever it is that is coming out of you, right? So look at what is every Disney movie that's been made in the last 20 years? Every single one of them has the same point. Whatever your dad says is wrong because the truth is inside of you, right? I mean, that's pretty much it, right? Like Moana has got to go to the sea. Why? Pretty much because her dad told her not to, right? I mean, that's kind of the whole idea. You know, the Frozen whole movie, and I got a daughter that was like 2 years old or 3 years old when Frozen first came out, so I've seen it like 100 times, okay? But you think about that whole movie Frozen, and what's the deal? Keep it inside of you. Why? Well, pretty much because that's what they told you. That's wrong. You need to do whatever is inside of you has got to get out. The community exists to affirm whatever is there. And here comes Lady Wisdom, Proverbs chapter 1, the very kickoff of what God is saying to people about the world, and He's saying the natural path that you are on is wrong and you need to turn from it. That's counterculture in a world that says follow your heart. Hey, but no debate here, okay? Top 10 movie of all time. Maybe there's a debate in where you put it in the top 10, but top 10 movie of all time, The Sandlot, right? I mean, anybody seen The Sandlot? Okay. No debate there. Top 10, all right? And what happens at the end of The Sandlot? And if you haven't seen this movie, I'm about to spoil it for you, but it's like 25 years old. That's your fault, not my fault, okay? So I'm about to spoil it. But what happens at the very end? Man, they're trying to get this baseball, you know, jump the fence, get the baseball from the dog. And the great Bambino, Babe Ruth, shows up in Benny the Jet Rodriguez's room. And he looks at Benny the Jet Rodriguez, and he says, hey, kid, heroes get remembered, but legends never die. Just follow your heart. And you'll never go wrong. Great movie, worst life advice in the world, okay? Right? Is that not? This is where we live. Just follow your heart is the worst advice in the world. Why? Well, the Bible, God, beams in truth. My world, not your world, okay? I created all this, and what does he say? Very first bit of wisdom is you're gonna need to turn. You're gonna need to hear my reproof. Reproof is you've got that wrong and you need to turn and you need to jump. What is the modern, look what it said again. I'm gonna read it again. Here's what it says. Turn at my reproof and I will pour out my spirit to you and I will make my words known to you. This is just like modern people, okay? This is where we are. Modern people look at that verse and they say, God, you pour your spirit out and then I'll decide if I wanna turn. God, you make your word intimately known to me, and then I'll decide if I want to turn off of the path that I'm on. And God is up there saying, hey, no, that's not how it works. You're going to have to exhibit faith. There is a part of the Christian life that is jumping. It is, man, I'm gonna take a dare. I'm gonna actually bet on God's character and his goodness and his greatness, and I'm gonna jump. And that's what the scripture is saying. The scripture is saying, hey, you're on a path. If you that, and I'm gonna get into this in a minute. That path is pretty much characterized by foolishness, rebellion, and hell itself, all right? And you're on that path. And if you want off of that path, you're gonna need to trust me and my character and jump, and then watch my spirit pour out upon you. And then watch the word be intimately known to you. The New Testament writers pick this up as well. Look what it says in Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Man, I gotta hear something from outside of me and turn. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says it like this. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, for he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Don't you understand what that means? Modern people wanna put the cart before the horse. What God is saying is no, you're gonna have to turn and jump and dare and take a bet and trust me. And when you decide to take that step, now all of a sudden, I will begin to pour out my word and my spirit will be poured out upon you. Listen, nobody, I'm gonna go back to the intro. Nobody goes to heaven because they were scared of hell. You end up going to heaven because you look at God and you say, man, I'm on the wrong path and I trust you and your character and your love for me enough to jump and put my hope in the gospel. And then all the days of my life, I ask you to make me a lover of what is good, to love the things that you love. See, so many of us are like, man, the path that I'm on right now, this is the party, man. It's all about money. It's all about winning. It's all about, you know, the next promotion. It's all about whatever. It's all about the things of this life. And this is the party. And many of us are like, man, that's heaven. Well, the Bible's like, man, that's not heaven. And to make your heart a lover of what God actually loves, you're going to have to take a dare and jump and look at his character and decide, I trust you more than I trust what I see. Right here. Now, if we don't do that, there's consequences for this, and this is how wisdom is set up. Look what it says. Because you have ignored all my counsel, would have none of my reproof. Also, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me. This is very important, okay? Man, if some of you guys are newer to the faith or maybe you've been immersed in some type of religiosity your whole life, it's like, man, and I don't care where you're from. If you were in the South, it was Southern fried. If you were in the North, it was Northern steamed, okay? But it was served up the same way. It was like a little bit of Bible, a little bit of just do right by God and God will do right by you. Maybe you've never heard something that'll shake you like this. I want you to hear it with all the freshness that it brings. Then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Some of us today are like, I didn't know God could do that. God can do whatever he wants. He's God, it's his world. And what he's saying is, man, if you seek me, what we're gonna get into is, if you seek me as a second alternative, if it's like, man, I don't really like hell, so I'm gonna turn to you. He's like, man, you're gonna seek me and you're not gonna find me. Because my relationship with you ain't based on what you don't want. Nobody settles for God. It's gonna have to be about more than that. His character, his love, his power. Man, I'm gonna take a jump. I'm gonna dare. I'm gonna bet. I'm gonna put my faith in him. They hated knowledge. They did not choose the fear of the Lord. This is what God's saying. He's saying, man, you're going to yell out to me. Who's ever heard this phrase? There ain't no such thing as an atheist in a foxhole, right? There are plenty of people that all of a sudden begin to eat the fruit of their way and don't like it and call out to God. And he's like, man, that ain't how you find me. You don't find me because of something you don't like. You find me because you fear me, you choose me, you love me, you see something in me, and you take a dare on me. Would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. There will be plenty of people who choose against God's wisdom when it comes to marriage. They step outside of marriage, whether that be physically or on a computer screen. Man, they're all about, man, the emotional affair at the office or whatever. And then all of a sudden, when their family actually begins to fall apart, they turn and they say, Lord, Lord, Lord. And I'm not saying God can't use some of that stuff to wake us up. He can, obviously. But man, if it's all just about getting out of a jam, and it's not about who you love, God's like, man, you're going to yell my name, but you're not really looking for me. You're looking for a way out of hell. That ain't the same thing as loving heaven. You're looking for a way out of the consequences of foolishness. That is not the same thing as asking God, make me a lover of what is good. Make me a lover of wisdom. There will be plenty of people who act foolishly with money. You know, I'm going to tell you something right now, okay? When it comes to health, and the Bible talks about this a lot, you think about financial health, for example, okay? Financial health is one of those things that is really not that complicated. Now, that don't mean that it's easy, okay? Okay, but it's just you know, it's not that complicated. It is pretty simple. That doesn't mean that it's easy, but it is simple. And the Bible talks about this. Only a fool devours all that they make. Only, you know, in the house of the wise, there are stores of oil. You know, there are stores of treasure. Man, generous. When people are generous, God sows back into their life. It's like, man, when I think about a financial healthy person, it's like, man, I live on less than I make. I try to invest some of the difference. I make sure that I give first. Like, this is how God has set it up. It's not that complicated, but it is very hard. Why? Because we are going to have to trust God, trust his character, decide that what he says is good is actually good, and jump and take a dare and decide to do it his way. But there's gonna be plenty of people who decide that they don't wanna live like that. They live racked in debt. Man, every single week, it's month to month, it's all this kind of stuff. Man, they're taking on more water all of the time. Man, they refuse to think about, you know, getting pastoral counsel in this area of their life or whatever. And one day, they wake up with so much pressure on them that they're just about to crack. And in that moment, they say, Lord, Lord, Lord. And I'm not saying that God can't use that to wake people up. He absolutely can use that to wake people up. But if honestly, at our core, it's about getting out of a jam so that we can go right back into the same behavior, God's like, man, you're gonna seek me, but really you're seeking a way out of the consequences of your foolishness and your rebellion. That's a big difference. Heaven is not defined by what we don't want. It's defined by what we love. Think about health. Man, many people, man, they play loose and fast with their health. And I'm getting, this is the wisdom literature. The Bible talks about, you know, wisdom in just a few different areas comes out of the wisdom literature all the time. All right, man, it's physical health, it's spiritual health, it's financial health, it's relational health, and it's civic health. It's pretty much always one of those five. There's not really anything outside. I mean, that's pretty much what it is. Well, think about physical health. It's like, man, eat the right stuff, drink a lot of water, try to sleep 8 or 9 hours every single night, and do something by way of exercising 4 or 5 days a week. That is really not that complicated. Now, it's hard to do, okay? It's hard to get in the rhythm of that. Man, it's a tough thing, but it's not that common. Many people are gonna step outside of God's wisdom. They're gonna live in a way. They're gonna abuse alcohol. They're gonna abuse food. Man, they're gonna not take care of their body, all that kind of stuff. And one day, they're gonna wake up and the consequences of that foolishness, and they're gonna say, Lord, Lord, Lord. Now, God can use that to wake somebody up, but it might be that it's just about getting out of a jam. And when it's just about getting out of a jam, we're gonna have a pretty hard conclusion here. And that conclusion is this: man, you don't settle for God. God is not a second option. I don't really like this, so okay, yeah, God, I'll come and do, yeah, I'll do your little thing, you know, I'll do all the stuff or whatever, because I don't like the consequences here. Oh, no, 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 no. Looking at him, looking at his character, looking at his power, look at his love, what he's done for us in the gospel, are we willing to take a jump, a dare, a bet, and say, no, I trust you with my life. And I trust that what you say is good is actually more and better than the things that I naturally think. Look what it says in verse 31. Therefore, and this gets really at it, okay? Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their way and have the fill of their own devices. If I could boil all of this down, all right? Here's what I think maybe in our society, I'm susceptible of this too. Man, we get this backwards, we get this wrong. Here's the truth. The path that you choose takes you to the destination that you actually desired. That's the part that we don't understand. And that's what it says here. They will eat the fruit of their way. You know, what we don't understand is like 1 second after death, all of a sudden somebody wakes up in hell. And we're like, well, nobody wants to go to hell. Darkness, burning, worm never dies, all of that. I totally believe it. Literal place. Got it. Nobody wants to go there. That is not the same thing as wanting to fall on your knees and become a lover of what is good and enter heaven. This is why C.S. Lewis said, little controversy here, okay? Little C.S. Lewis said, hey, hell is a door that is locked from the inside. What is he trying to get at there? What he's saying is people are eating the fruit of their way. They didn't love God and they didn't love his path to wisdom on this earth. Why in the world would they love it in the afterlife? It's like, man, here's what people say. It is what people might think. They think, man, nobody would ever choose hell. Well, here's what I'm gonna tell you today, okay? I see people choose hell on earth like every single day. Nobody would choose hell. Nobody would choose hell. Why do people choose hell on earth? Why do they stay ravaged in addiction? Man, why do they look at what God says about sexuality and marriage and just decide, I'm going to do the opposite and I'm gonna take all those consequences? You know, people choose hell on earth every single day. I don't know if you guys have seen, there's a documentary out now. PBS just put a documentary out about Woodstock, okay? And it's crazy, all right? And I don't want to offend any of you if any of you were there, okay? But here's what got me about Woodstock. All right, what was Woodstock? Man, big music festival, and I'm not saying everybody that was there or just because they were there participated in all the stuff, okay? I'm not getting at that. But generally speaking, what is Woodstock notorious for? Man, well, I'll give you a couple things. All right. Number one, it was notorious for the amount of drugs that were consumed. All right. And this is funny, the amount of community that was being built around the drug culture. So what I mean is, like in a church, we would talk about like, hey man, we're building community and community group, and man, you're gonna be there for me when I need it, and I'm gonna be there to pray for you when you need it. Well, go back and watch the documentary. The people were talking about the exact same thing in the tents that the government had set up for the drug overdoses. So this is what guys were saying. They were saying, hey man, it was crazy, man. It was so deep. It was so spiritual. Like I was holding my buddy's hand as he was coming down off a high over, you know, right on the edge of overdose. And I was holding his hand that night because I knew the next night he was gonna be there for me. Building community around drug use, okay. You know, what else is it characterized by? Man, it's characterized by illicit sexuality. People out in the open engaging in sexual activities without even exchanging names. This is what it was characterized by, all right? And a bunch of other stuff that we could talk about. Now, here's what got me about the documentary. You watch the different interviews and the people that were there, and here's what they said. Here, exact words, all right? They said, man, when I look back on it, it was heaven on earth. Y'all, it was hell. When I described the alcohol and the drug and the lack of control and the sexuality and the 3 days of living off of everybody else's generosity and having what you consume not connected to your own labors and work at all, when I begin to explain all of these things that are so counter to the Bible, does your heart weep or does your heart say, man, that sounds kind of like heaven. I want to go there. But we say nobody would choose hell. Hell is the ultimate manifestation of foolishness. The actual word for Matthew chapter 5 is the term Gehenna. That goes back to the greatest place of rebellion in maybe all of the Bible in the book of Jeremiah, where people were willing to sacrifice their little babies to false gods. And where? The valley. The valley of Henna. It comes from that very term. The greatest place of rebellion ends up being the very name for hell. It is the ultimate manifestation, and yet we say, well, nobody would choose it. People choose it every day. And I know I'm giving big examples. Oh, Mardi Gras, you know, all this kind of party life. It ain't just about that, man. How many of us are gonna go home and we're gonna choose a path with a destination And we're going to absolutely tear each other apart with our words. And we're going to look right at Proverbs 18:21, and we're going to say, the scripture says that life and death are in the power of the tongue, but I will choose hell, and I will make this family hell. And we will kill each other and tear each other down with our words today. You understand what I'm getting at? Man, we can choose that path all the time. The scripture says that we will eat the fruit of their way. And look what it says. There's a destination to this. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without the dread of disaster. Guys, I want to begin to kind of start landing the plane here with you this morning. And here's what I want to call you to do. I want to call you to choose wisdom today. All right, choose wisdom today. Man, think, you say, man, everything in me is saying that that's heaven, or man, the slow path to wealth, boring, licentious living, that's what I wanna go for. I'm thinking about those things as if they're heaven. I'm gonna ask you to trust God's character today and to take a dare and a bet and jump on him and allow him to turn you into a lover of what is good. And I'm gonna call upon you to choose wisdom. Don't you understand today that you have a choice? That is what is so unique about humanity in the image of God. Other creatures don't get this. You know, when COVID hit, okay, everybody went and had a crazy COVID purchase. A lot of people bought ping pong tables and workout equipment, okay? I don't know where you fell in that kind of thing. COVID hit, and about 6 days later, me and my family went and bought 2 cows. All right, so we bought 2 little calves, and man, we raised them, and I had this kind of dream of going from, you know, bottle calf all the way to, and so we trained them, and we, you know, 2 years, this summer marked their 2-year mark of being grown out, so it was time for them to go, you know, to what we tell the kids, to freezer camp. The cows went to freezer camp, all right? That's the butcher, if you didn't realize, okay? And I think about that. It's so funny. My wife is like, you know, the people are like, did you name the cows? I'm like, yeah, I named them Berg for hamburger. Okay, so it was great. My wife was like, I'm so scared, you know, that he's going to be, you know, scared on the trailer ride. And, you know, he's got to go and he's never been on a trailer. I'm like, babe, he ain't got to do it but one time. Okay, so, I mean, he's going to be okay, all right? So I think about that because I'm like, man, this cow, it's like, dude, the destination, the pathway that is connected to the destination was totally set for him by me. 100%. He's got nothing to do with it. Enough pressure, enough carrot, and enough stick. And he gets on that trailer. And once I shut that door, it is a path that is connected absolutely to a destination. And there ain't no turning around. You and I are not in that boat today. Why? Proverbs chapter 1 says, if you will turn at my reproof. Man, can you think about trusting what God says about foolishness and wisdom, about hell itself, and about heaven today? That's what I'm gonna call you to do, all right? Let me apply this in 2 ways and I'm done. The first one is this. Hey, for some of you guys that are believers, man, you're Christians, you've been walking with God for a long time. What do you do in the areas of your life? I have them too. You know, what do you do in the areas of your life where you're like, man, that part of my life don't really look like wisdom? And the truth is, I feel like I'm kind of drawn to the path that actually would be more connected with foolishness and hell. But I'm a Christian. I think about this in my life when I think about movies, all right? When I see a movie trailer for something that is not godly, maybe it's very violent, something like that, there are times in my flesh where I'm like, man, I wanna see that. And then I'm like, but that's not godly. It's not what God has for me. Even though my flesh is desiring that, that is that moment Paul has in the book of Romans where he's like, man, I'm doing the thing I don't wanna do, and the thing I wanna do, I feel like I can't do. What do we do in that moment? I'm gonna tell you what you don't do. What you don't do is decide, man, I'm just gonna pull myself up by my bootstraps. I'm gonna work harder. I'm gonna get real afraid that God's gonna kick me out of the family if I keep sinning. That's an easy one Christians go to. No. What we need to do as believers is realize even in that moment of failure and struggle, Jesus Christ saw it from eternity past and still chose you. And he still went to the cross for you. And he died even for that sin that you are struggling with, that you brought in here today. And it's not who you are. I know that what it looks like on the outside, because the sin that you're walking in or have walked in or what you're drawn to, Christian, for you, it looks like you got 2 feet planted firmly on a path that's gonna take you to hell, and that's a lie. If you have Christ, if the blood has covered you, both of your feet are planted firmly on a path that's gonna take you right to heaven. Why? Because of what you've done? No, but because of what Christ has done for us. He was sacrificed on the cross for us. Man, our sin died with him there, and then in his resurrection, we have the opportunity to join him in the newness of life. I don't know what you're struggling with today, but I know that as God looks down, he doesn't see that struggle. He sees Christ all over you. You're wrapped up in his clothes, in his garments. Christian, you got to think about it like this, all right? How good a news is it that you are not defined by your greatest failure today? Right? It's not because you worked yourself out of it. It's because of what Christ has done. You begin to think about it like that, and slowly God is going to move you into a lover of what is good, and that sin is going to fall out of your life, all right? Hey, but let me close like this. There are some of you here today in a room this size, man, a growing church, a young church, right coming out of the summer. There are some of you, I know it, that have come around this summer, and you're just trying to, man, you're trying to figure it out. Hey, today is the day. You need to put a stake in the ground and pray the prayer of salvation and become a believer. Take a dare, jump. How can you trust God's character today? You know why? Here's what the scripture said. It said that they will eat the fruit of their way, right? Man, we walk in sin, we walk in rebellion, we're gonna eat the fruit of that in hell forever. That is true, you will eat the fruit of your way. You know the one person that wasn't true for? It was not true for Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ, he came and ended up eating the fruit, not of his way, but of ours. Jesus Christ came and took death and hell so that what would be left for you is neither. Man, the fruit of our way is both, but because of what Christ did for us, what is left for us is neither. Man, his sin died at the cross. Our sin died at the cross, and in the newness of life, we have an opportunity in the resurrection. Would you join him today? Man, would you put your faith in him? I know what you think, all right? Some of us think, this is what we think. We think, man, I don't have to do this today. Well, you know, if God's calling you today, there's two things here. You're like, oh, I can do this next week. Nobody knows if you will be here next week. Nobody knows. You don't know. We think we're invincible. You got no idea. But hey, you know what? You know what's even scarier than that? If God is calling you and drawing you to himself and saying, hey, trust my character and become a lover of what is good, put your feet on the path to heaven, ultimate manifestation of wisdom. If he's calling you for that today, there is no guarantee that he will call you tomorrow. It's just like a human to believe that we come to God whenever we decide to, right? This is the part of the sermon I get emails about. People are like, what exactly are you saying? And you can always email me at cartermonday@gmail.com, okay? Anytime you want to, you can email me. People are like, what do you mean I can't just come to salvation tomorrow? The book of Romans is super clear that there comes a day when God gives you over to that reprobate mind that continues to slam the door in his face. Scripture says, God said, I will not strive with man forever. If he is calling you today, there is no guarantee that he will call you tomorrow. If he's calling you today, today needs to be the day of salvation for you. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for just a minute? I'm gonna lead you through a simple prayer. I'm not gonna go through a big response time, but I just wanna give you an opportunity here. Hey, if you need to pray to receive Christ today, you just pray with me in your heart. And we would love to connect with you after the service. I know Pastor Carter would love to do that. But if you wanna take that dare on God, take that jump, man, trust Christ with your life. Ask him to make you a lover of what is good. Trust him to define heaven and the good life for you. Then what I wanna call you to do is to pray this prayer with me. You just pray after me in your heart. Father, I know that I'm a sinner separated from you. I know that Jesus Christ came to this earth to live a sinless life, to die in my place, and to be raised to new life and give me the opportunity to be raised with him. And I trust him for that. Save me. And I will follow you all the days of my life. Father, I come before you this morning, and Lord, we just pray that you would take those who have prayed with me here today, and God, give them a boldness and a courage to take that next step and to let somebody know in their community group, one of the pastors that are here. Lord, they've gone from death to life, and the angels rejoice in heaven now. God, sanctify them through the days of their life and turn them into a lover of what is good and wise. In Christ's name we pray, amen.
Thanks so much for listening with us today. We hope that it was an encouragement to you. But you know, we don't see this as a replacement for gathering with other believers in a local church context. So if you don't have a local church, we would encourage you to plug in with one wherever you are. And if you're in Roanoke, Virginia, we'd love to invite you to plug in with us here at Redemption Church. And you're welcome anytime to gather with us. But you can check us out online at our website, redemptionroanoke.com. You You can look for other content or resources there. But thanks again for listening.